You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. How many of you ready for the Word? Amen. Reminds me of some years ago, could be 15 years ago or so. I remember one night being in the local Polk County Jail at home in our home community, and they only housed at that time, I don't know, maybe a dozen inmates. It's a small county jail. They have built a new one now, and it's much bigger. Remember back then, some of us, I don't know, a half a dozen of us men folks went in there for a service, and we were singing for maybe 30 minutes or so, and then all the way down the hallway, there's about six cells in a row, and all the way down, the very last one, after about 30 minutes of singing, we heard these words from an inmate saying, "I'm ready for the Word. I'm ready for the Word." Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know we have this precious Word? This precious Word that will forever stand. I don't know how many times I've heard this over the years in Africa, where you go out in these villages and you preach the gospel, and the children, they come and they hang on to you, and they come to you time and time throughout an evening. "Could I have one Bible? Could you give me one Bible?" There are so many that would love to have the Word of God. They would love to have one page of the Bible, one book of the Bible, something from the Old Testament, something from the New, just something from the Word of God. They would love to have it, but they can't afford to buy it. So many here in the U.S. have contributed, where literally hundreds and hundreds of Bibles are able to be given out. In fact, this last readathon, I wasn't going to share this, but this last readathon that was put on, there was right around $50,000 that was raised for Bibles for Africa. What a great, great blessing. And many of you have contributed to that so that people can have the Word of God in those areas that they would love to have it, but they can't afford to buy it. What a great, great blessing for the Word of God. Well, turn to the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 23, if you will, tonight. Message tonight was birthed, actually, or confirmed, rather, confirmed. I'm not sure what word to use, but I know when we came to the noon prayer meeting today, I did not have clarity on where to go tonight. There were several different directions my heart, mind was going, and throughout this time of prayer today, right here on this stage and all throughout the tent, I thank God so much for the clarity that was given. But I want to encourage us tonight about two secret places, and I want to talk about an aspect of, well, there's two secret places that the Bible talks about. There could be more, but I want to address two of them tonight. The first one is more on the negative side of a secret place, but we want to end up tonight on a very positive secret place that the Bible talks about here this evening. And I want to talk about an aspect of praying. Well, I'll get to that a little bit later. But Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 and verse 24. In case you didn't bring your Bibles, it's also on the screen. And God asked us several questions here, and I want to do that tonight as we begin the message here. "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" So God is asking us several questions here tonight. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, plural, that I shall not see him? I believe we know the answer, that God will always see everywhere. We heard the scripture tonight about the stars, and and how he not only knows the stars, but names them. And so we know that he is a God who sees everywhere. He sees everything. We could never do anything that God doesn't see. We could never go any place that God doesn't know that we go there. We could never think a thought that God doesn't know we think. In fact, not only does he know all our thoughts, but he knows the very intent of why we think it. He knows everything about us. There was a time in my life where I didn't like that. But friend, I've come to realize I like the fact to serve such an awesome God that he knows everything about us. Yes, what a God we serve. It is not a bad thing that God knows every thought we think. In fact, we're created by him. That's why he knows every thought we think. And without recognizing him, we couldn't even think. Because he makes us to think. He made us. He created us. That we could never go any place God doesn't see. We could never think any thought God doesn't know we think. The very motives and the intents of our heart, he knows the very depth of it all. What a God we serve. And we know that we can never hide anything from him. You know, we can hide things from people part of the time, but we can never hide anything from God. In fact, this quote was quoted some years ago. I wrote it down. The power of sin, this first secret place we want to address tonight, the power of sin is in its secrecy. Think about that for just a moment. The power of sin is in its secrecy. Say, what do you mean? I believe when we give in to secret sins long enough and often enough, there is a power that overtakes our life, but it's not the power we're looking for tonight. It's not the power that we're going to get from the second secret place. But there are so many today, so many believers, so many people in the church today who give in to habitual sins and continue to go there and go there in the secret place where we think nobody else knows. And eventually there is a power that overtakes us and we wonder, why could I never have victory? So many find themselves today in the church feeling like I will always be defeated in certain areas of my life. You know, Jesus did not die for us to be defeated. Jesus gave his life for every one of us to live a victorious, Christian, fulfilling life. If there's anything less than that in my life, why? Why? What happened? There we go. There could be a secret sin, one of those secret sins. The power of sin is in its secrecy. You know, one of those secret sins that is very rampant among us, and there could be more than this, but Josh McDowell, I want to give credit where credit is due. I got some of these. I'm not much of a statistic guy. But sometimes statistics help us to see the vastness or the power of something. I want to share just a few of those to get us. If I were to ask the question, what would you say is one of the greatest secret sins among the people of God? You don't have to answer it, but think about it. There could be more than one, but one of them. Josh McDowell writes, one of history's greatest encumbrance to the church and to me, there is no question about it. It is pervasive internet pornography. One of the things that has taken so many down the wrong road, kept so many feeling trapped, kept so many in bondage, because we have believed the fact that we could never be set free from it. We believed it. But tonight I believe the Holy Spirit wants to change our belief system. If we're believing that, He wants to change our belief system, and until we allow the Holy Spirit to change our belief system, we'll probably go back to that secret place over and over and over again. Because there is no amount of power on our own to overcome it. Now, let me give you a few more statistics. The size of this thing. Now, Josh McDowell writes this. In 1988, there were 14 million web pages dedicated to porn. Look at the progression here. In 2003, 260 million. In 2006, 420 million. In 2010, 500 million. In 2012, 800 million. And in 2015, when this survey was done, or this investigation was done, 1.79 billion pages dedicated to porn. Alarming statistics. He goes on to write that there is almost no difference between believers and non-believers. Get that. There's almost no difference statistically between believers and non-believers when it comes to pornography. From our pastors, youth pastors, young people, men and women who attend our evangelical churches. Almost no difference between believers and non-believers. One of the reasons that many church leaders won't speak out about it is because of their own guilty conscience in it. It's true. I wish we wouldn't have to say it, but it's true. You know, I remember some years ago, I was sitting in a room with about 15 or 20 pastors and elders planning tent meetings. So they had invited us to come in, and I went and I met with them, sat in this room, and so to begin the meeting, we had an opening, and then I just asked to go around the table. I said, you know, we feel honored that you're inviting us. I'd love to hear. We want to come alongside you and support your vision for these meetings. We don't want to come with our agenda. We want to get on your side, and we want to help you all accomplish what is on your heart. So I'd love to hear your vision. What has brought us to this point? What has brought you, pastors and elders, to invite us to come to your community? So we went around the table, and each one expressed their vision for these meetings. And we get to this one pastor. And I didn't really know him. Didn't really know him. And he began to express himself, and I could tell the way he spoke, the way he talked, there was this, it was not this gentle, what you felt from a lot of the others. It was just this harsh, frustrated, and then he had enough, to say that, he said, you know, he said, when it comes to these kind of meetings, he said, I got to be honest with you, it's just very frustrating to me. He said, you know, I have preached, and he gave how many numbers of sermons he preached to his congregation in the time that he was pastor there. He had it all spelled out. I've preached 300 and whatever many sermons to my congregation, and I give an altar call, and nobody responds. And then he said, you know, Dave comes and preaches the word at a tent meeting, and people flock to the altar. He said, that's frustrating to me. Now, what was I supposed to say? I kind of wanted to give an altar call right there. No, that wasn't very nice. But I was like, Lord, what do I do? And I tried to listen. I didn't, come against it that night. But I remember just leaving that meeting, and I was troubled with this. And then the meetings were planned, and the tent meetings came and went. And throughout the meetings, I could not connect with that man. I just could not connect. And well, long story short, some year or two later, I remember getting word that this pastor was caught in his church office on the computer on porn. And I said, Lord, that explains it all. It explains it all. Why we can't connect. Why the frustration? Why the frustration? You know, when you see people responding to an altar and getting, you don't have to come to an altar to get right with God, but it's a place to get right with God. And it doesn't always mean coming to an altar that you're in this deep growth in. You just wanna eat and drink at the well of life. If that doesn't excite us, why not? Why not? Man, it doesn't matter if I preach. I mean, the last several nights I wasn't preaching, the altar was filled. Hallelujah! It's not about who preaches, it's about the Holy Spirit doing His work. And we ought to rejoice in that when God moves. Yes! If I can't rejoice, why not? Why not? Secret sins, so many are caught there, but friend, I'm glad we don't have to leave it there because there is an answer. We don't have to feel defeated. Let's look at a few more verses about the secret places. Like as a lion in Psalm 17, verse 12. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. You know, if you've been to the jungles of Africa, or maybe you've watched National Geographic videos and you've watched a lioness that was making and ready to make their next move for the next meal. If you've seen it, you know they're not just right out in the open. I mean, they're trying to hide behind the bushes and they're trying to be very secretive and they're watching out there for that next little gazelle or whatever animal that they're targeting. And man, when the timing is right, they're going to make their move. But why do they want to do this first? Why do they want to be secret about it first? Because if they just expose themselves, they're going to be discovered. And it's going to mess up their next move. It's exactly what happens to us in the secret place of sin. We're going to do everything we can to not be exposed. To not be exposed. Because if we're exposed, it's going to mess up the next move that we want to make. And that's what we don't want. But friend, the Bible said, well, I'll get to that. I think the verse is a little bit later. Ephesians chapter 5. Moreover, a couple more verses. Moreover, by them that is thy servant warned, in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me, the psalmist said. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Psalm 19, verse 11 and 12. Then stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depth of hell. Proverbs 9, verse 17. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. And have no fellowship, here it is, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, bring it to the light. Come out of the secrecy of sin. You want to see revival happen? Yes! The Holy Spirit will burst us out of that secret place because we do not need to stay there. Yes! We don't need to stay there because it hinders so much in our life. We're married, it hinders our marriage, it hinders our parenting, it hinders our jobs, it hinders everything. Because we're carrying this guilt. We think it's just always going to be that way. No! Doesn't always have to be that way. But yes, to the one who will empower us. I can't wait to get to the second secret place. Hallelujah. For in the time of trouble, Psalm 27, verse 5, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, it's getting better, hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 1, we could probably all quote it. He that dwelleth in the secret place, there's the words again. Let's all quote it together, shall we? He that... Yes! He that dwelleth in the secret place of who? The Most High God. Now, that's where we're headed. This secret place. To escape any secrecy of any sin. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now we could close our Bibles and say, all right, everybody go home, dwell in the secret place of the Most High. But how do we do it? What does it look like? I am so glad. Well, let's look at this first. Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Here's where we want to end up tonight. One of the most powerful, I don't even want to categorize Scripture, because all Scripture is given. All Scripture is powerful. So I'm not diminishing one over the other, you understand. But this is one of the verses that has absolutely been life-changing for me over the years. Jesus said, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the second secret place. But thou, when thou prayest, you enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, you pray to thy Father which is in, say it. And thy Father which seeth in shall reward thee openly. I want to encourage us tonight, when it comes to this secret place of praying, this, I believe, is an aspect of praying that I don't know very much about. I'm learning. A lot of times I'm used to praying and asking God for things. I'm used to praying and saying, Lord, I know that your word says that ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. And I'm concerned about God answering my prayer. And that has its place. I'm not diminishing that. But I believe this kind of praying has much more to do with simply nothing else but just connecting with heaven and getting to know the Father in a way that I believe no other way of praying will. Simply connecting with the Father. Today, I'm telling you, when this word was confirmed for tonight, I was laying here face down on the stage praying, and throughout this tent, there was a sound in this place. There were people that were crying out, that were praying. And I'm not one to say the louder you pray, the more God hears. That's not the point. But it's what happens in our heart. Now, today, we were together. There was, 8 or 10 people in here praying. But I'm convinced of this. That's why I love to pray with other people, because you can tell whether people are used to connecting with heaven when we pray or whether we just pray. Can I say it that way? There's a difference. There's a difference. We can have formality of praying. The reason I believe when you come together and there's a yearning, there's a crying out, there's that heart cry of just connecting with heaven, is I believe it happens with those who have established the secret place of prayer when nobody's around. Because I believe we're only as effective in public as we worship and pray in private. That is why meetings like this, we've done this for many, many years, but I still say, Lord, I never want to become comfortable in doing what we're doing. Bring fresh manna, the power, the anointing. Yes! Because if I'm not in my secret place seeking the heart of God, you know what it becomes? It becomes boring. It becomes dull. Do you ever go to church on Sunday morning and left and said, boy, that was a boring service? Don't raise your hand. Your pastor might be here. But you ever feel that way? Again, you don't have to acknowledge it, but just answer the question. Do you ever leave church on Sunday mornings like, man, that was just a boring service, man. I don't know our pastor. I'm just not sure how he studied, that Sunday school teacher. I'm not sure about him. You know, I wish he would put a little bit more effort in studying and preparing and all of that, and he just didn't, and this, and this, and this. And then we eat the preach over lunch and all those kind of things. Do you ever think about the fact that, so who makes up the church? You and I, right? Not just the preacher, not just the Sunday school teacher, not just the song leader, not just the worship team. It's you and I, we make up the church. So may I suggest tonight That if you leave church on Sunday morning and say, wow, that was just a boring service, I didn't get it, could be a reflection of your life and mine Monday through Saturday. I long to see the day where the people of God, you want to see revival, you want to see your community change, you get people to enter into the closet and lock in with Jesus. And that's going to break things loose, and it's going to shake the gates of hell. It will. Because when we get from that secret place out into the world, there is the power of God coming from our life. And that is what's missing from the church today. That's why the world system is taking over. Church, let us wake up. Let us wake up and get into the secret place. Because that secret place where we lock in. I love this passage. Jesus said, you enter into the closet. What does that look like? I don't believe, ladies, it means removing all those shoes. I mean, if it means that, so be it. I don't know. How many of you watched the War Room movie? Anybody? Man, I remember when that movie came out, I went and watched a trailer of it. I saw Matthew 6, verse 6, and I was like, man, this is great, because that was one of my favorite passages in the Word. And I remember going on the trail. When I saw the trail, the content of what the message that they're getting to the world, I was like, yes! The world needs to see this. Now, in that case, they emptied the closet. But wherever this closet, I believe, is talking about an inner chamber, a place of isolation to pray. That's why I believe this is not just praying. I mean, yeah, you can pray over your food, and you can, you know, pray while you're driving. You can do all these kind of things. But this, Jesus is driving something home here. The reason I say an isolated place is he says, first of all, but thou, when thou prayest. So Daniel, Aaron, it is not if you pray. As a child of God, it's not if you pray, it's when you pray. So it's expected for us to be people of prayer. Then he tells us where to go. Enter into your closet. And then what do you do next? You shut the door. We should have a door up here. Anybody that's been in and out of prison can imagine this sound. When you go in and that officer pushes the button in the control room and, you know, it releases and then the door opens. Some are sliding, some are swinging. But on a swinging door, those big, heavy, steel, thick iron, when that thing shuts behind you and it gives that cling sound, I didn't do that very well, did I? But you get the point. And you kind of get that feeling like, you know what, I'm in here. You hope it doesn't malfunction 2 hours later. But you know, when that door is shut, or when you shut the door, if there was a door here and I would go behind this door, well, I can do it this way. So right now I'm isolated from you. Because of this, you could still hear me. But I was isolated from you. It's an isolation. You get alone with God. You shut the door. You lock in. Because you do it in secret when nobody else sees you or hears you. Now, sometimes people might hear you, and you have no idea. I have been awakened in Ghana, Africa, many years ago. At 4 a.m. in the morning, people out behind the house bombarding the throne of grace. Remember the first time it happened? I woke up and I was like, man, I don't know who's praying out there, but man, I wish he'd be quiet because I need to sleep. I mean, honestly, that was my thought. And then all of a sudden I realized, you know what? The Lord spoke to me and said, wow, where's my heart? You need sleep. They need prayer. They got to pray for food for the next day. Here we pray to bless our food that we already have. I was challenged. I was convicted. I repented. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Let them pray. But I learned. I remember Bishop Malundi in Kenya, Africa, some years ago. They're building this huge global cathedral. And year after year, we'd go back, and there's very little progress made. Something that would maybe take a year to build here in the States has been going on for years and years and years. Very little progress from one year to the next. And remember when some of the parts were being finished, they had a basement below the stage. And I remember a time where he was taking me through and giving me a tour. And on a weekday afternoon, we get down to the bottom below the stage in the rooms. And as we went down the steps, I heard there was about 15 young people down there just bombarding the throne of grace and praying. And I said, wow, now I know how they stay encouraged. Because they're finding their strength and their power in the secret place that empowers them, empowers them. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that they have established that secret place when they're not together. Because I believe the reflection of our church services, let me say this, whatever you experience in your church can be a reflection of the people who attend that church and how their life is Monday through Saturday. I long to see the day where every man and every woman has this closet life where we lock in with Jesus and we worship and we connect with the heavens, O God, and we pray and we bombard the throne of grace when nobody else is around. We worship Him, we praise Him, we sing in His presence, we plead with Him, we bare our heart, we pour out our heart, and then we stop and we listen to the voice of God. And therein, when you get from that place, oh, there's an anointing and there's a power that comes from that that won't come from any other place. Now you take that individually and you bring it together on Sunday morning with 500 people that are full of the Spirit of God and have been in worship Monday through Saturday. Now you bring that together and you lift your voices in praise. It will change your services. And I don't believe there'll be anything boring about it. Yeah. It'll change us. Why? Because we're changed. We're changed. We're changed. Oh, glory to God. Then he goes on to say, you shut thy door, you pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I wonder what would happen, Daniel. You know, today there's a lot of, I'm sure you've been aware of a lot of church issues, leadership issues, church issues, divisions, chaos, conflict, all of that. It's going to happen. But I wonder what would happen if before every church meeting, if every person coming to that meeting would have this closet life, or in an organization, or whatever. Have this closet life where we lock in with Jesus. Not my will. You know what happened to Jesus when he was in the depth of praying? Right before he went to the cross. In the garden where he prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. What was he doing? He was praying. Not my will, but your will be done. I believe that's what happens in the secret place. Where we come to that place where we say, not my will, but Lord, your will. That doesn't mean you can't share your opinion, but how do I share it? Well, I believe this is the way it ought to be, and if it's not this way, count me out. Hold everything. May I ask, who do I think I am? It doesn't mean we can't share our opinion, but hey, have you all thought about this? Hey, what about this? About 18 years ago or so, I lose track of time. I remember when this thing became real to me. It was in my early years of serving with Gospel Express, and I remember some difficult decision. If you remember, the office was down here. I see Brother Lloyd Esch back here. I think he might have even been on the board at that time. I lose track of time. Maybe it was after that. Good to see you, Lloyd. But I remember we closed headquarters down here in Gordonville and moved everything to North Carolina and didn't feel like we were ready for it, and all kinds of change happened. And can I be honest enough to say that I thought those in authority over me were making decisions that I didn't think were right? It's what I felt. I had a choice to make. Am I going to run from it, or am I going to submit and say, God, teach me. What do you want me to learn? And I remember many mornings on my office floor, face down before God, nobody else around, early morning, nobody else around, crying out, locking in with Jesus, locking in with Jesus. About a two-year wilderness that I thought in the middle of it, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. But I look back today, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It's the best thing that ever happened to me because I needed to be broken. And I wasn't broken to the point where I needed to be. God knew it, I didn't. But God showed me through this on my office floor, morning after morning, just weeping in His presence. The secret place of the Most High. When people are in the secret place of the Most High, I don't remember if it was these tent meetings 2 years ago, or it was last year up in Canada, I don't remember for sure where. But I remember a newly ordained minister came to me right in the back of the tent, and he asked me the question, what is the best advice you could give me as a newly ordained person? Without even praying or thinking much about it, I immediately told him, make sure you establish the secret place of praying. Because that takes care of so much. It takes care of so much. It will empower us to escape the secrecy of any sin. You want to get relief from an addiction of the secret place of pornography? You establish this secret place. You want to be delivered from an addiction of whatever? You establish this secret place. It doesn't matter what it is. Alcohol, smoking, tobacco, whatever. Lustful thinking. This secret place, because what happens is we connect with heaven, and as Paul said, our inner man is strengthened. Our inner man is strengthened in this secret place. The invitation tonight is simply, Lord, help me to establish this in my life, or secondly, help me to renew it. There's times when I need to come to the Lord and say, I've been away from the fountain too long. Lord, renew it, refresh it. And you can tell in people, when you get around people. I remember over in Africa a few years ago, Pastor Ben was his name. New guy, we were getting to know him. We didn't really know him before. He arranged about 7 or 8 prison services for us. We went from prison to prison, sometimes 2 and 3 a day. And this one afternoon, out in the hot sun, we get into this prison, and we're back there, finally got back in after all the formality of meeting the OIC, the officer in charge, and all of that. Finally got back in there and had a service, did some worship time, and then I was preaching. Gave an invitation, and there's so much that happened that day. But at the end of the service, after many inmates responded to give their life to Christ, we're ready to close. I asked Pastor Ben to come. I said, Ben, would you close the service? Gave him the microphone. He began to pray. Before I know it, I mean, he was out. This is in the hot sun, close to the equator. No carpet, no grass, dirt floor. He was all decked out in a suit and tie. Sweat just rolling down his face. After he started praying, he was kneeling down. He knelt down. Before long, the only thing that separated his nose from the dirt was the microphone. He began to pray. There was a holy hush in that place. Because the presence of the Lord was sensed in that place. I began to weep. I looked back, our staff were all sitting back there, and tissues were coming out. Handkerchiefs were coming out. Tears were starting to roll. God moved even after the altar call. Remember driving down the road a few minutes later. Hot, sweaty, dusty, dirty. I say, Lord, what just happened? I did not ask Pastor Ben. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, that man had a secret place of praying. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, "Pray to the Father which is in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly." That day, he was rewarded openly. Steve, I bless you. On Saturday, those of you who were here when the bikers were here, Steve Stutzman was up here and began to pray. And during that prayer, I sense an anointing. I sense the power of God being released in this place. The power of God being released in this place. Simply through praying. Because I believe there's a man who has a secret place when not one of us are around. And he locks in with Jesus. You want to escape the secrecy of any sin? Established a secret place of praying. And if you're here tonight, you don't have a secret sin, but you want to establish the secret place of praying. You know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You can pray going down the road. You can pray while you're driving. Thank God I do a lot of it. You can pray while you're doing heating and air conditioning. You can pray while you're whatever it is doing. Laying block, putting 2x4s together. You can always be in the spirit of prayer. Ladies, you can be praying while you're cooking. You can go on prayer walks. Those are all great. But any one of those things I mentioned, you have to subconsciously be aware of what's going on around you. Not this. The only thing you're aware of is that I'm locked in with Jesus. And you're connecting with heaven. And there is a power that will come over us that will impact the world. And you watch revival break out. You watch you and get you. And the power in you is greater. Because the Bible says so. Because your inner man is strengthened. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have that power. You're not saved. We've heard it night after night. If you're not saved tonight, this praying won't make sense. Because I remember well. I didn't know how to just talk to God. You mean you can just talk to God? You can just pray without reading something. I remember well when God took me from that. Even after I got saved, I was like, wow. So I can just pray without reading out of a book. I can just talk to God. I can just, yes. Yes, we open our mouth and we declare into the spirit world. We pray, we speak, we talk. Many people talk, but then when it comes to praying, it's like, well, I just don't want to get too radical about praying. Oh, friend, we can never get too radical about praying. And again, there's times when I'm simply just quiet before the Lord in the secret place, because we need to listen so that we hear what God is saying. Again, the invitation tonight is, Lord, help me to establish this secret place, or help me to renew it. I want you to renew it in my heart. How is it with me right now? How is it in my heart right now? Want to see revival? This is one of the keys. It's one of the keys. Can we stand together tonight?